You're listening to the audio production of The Problem of Jesus, Answering Skeptics' Challenges to the Scandal of Jesus, by Mark Clark, published by Zondervan and read by the author.
To my Bobby, the first one to tell me about and, more importantly, show me Jesus. Without you, I would not have written this book, nor would I know the subject of it personally. It took years for me to care about Jesus, but you never gave up on me, and even now, as you come close to meeting him face to face, you never stop pursuing him. Whenever that day comes, know that I'm right behind you and will see you soon. Thank you for everything. Foreword by Ray Johnson. In every generation, in every country, and tragically in many churches, there's always one problem with Jesus. Here it is. The Jesus of the Bible is ignored. Years ago, I saw this firsthand. As I landed in South Africa for a two-week speaking tour, the country was in complete turmoil. The air was filled with anticipation. Everything was new. Nelson Mandela was free. The Constitution was being rewritten. Decades of suffocating apartheid were ending. Nobody knew what the future would hold. And at that moment, Carol and I were getting off a plane in Cape Town to spend two tension-filled weeks training pastors and leaders in South Africa's Dutch Reformed churches. Change was everywhere, except in the church. Carol and I found ourselves growing more and more depressed as we visited one lifeless, segregated, change-resistant church after another. Tradition reigned. Pastors were frustrated. Change looked impossible. And even the leaders were telling us it's a nightmare. Our church is stuck. It's hopeless. It was a total disaster. Then everything changed. On our last weekend there, I was invited to preach at the largest Dutch Reformed church in the country. We pulled into the parking lot expecting another dead, uptight, condemning, segregated, old-fashioned, tradition-driven church. Instead, we were stunned. The atmosphere was electric. We walked in and saw thousands of people joyfully worshiping together. The crowd was diverse. A mix of whites and blacks, teenagers and adults, rich and poor, all standing side by side, singing in English and several other languages. I couldn't believe it. This place radiated unity and joy unlike anything we had seen in the rest of the country. Still in shock, I leaned over and elbowed the pastor. "How long have you been pastor of this church?" 10 years, he said. "Was it this way when you got here?" "No, it was like every other church in the country." I had to know what had happened. I was afraid the song was about to end, so I got right to the point. "What happened?" The worship team began a new song, and he shared the whole story with me. He said the change took place with just one meeting. He walked into his first church board meeting, went to the head of the table where a chair was reserved for him, and he turned to his leaders. "I'm not sitting in that chair," he said. "No one will ever sit in that chair again. That's Jesus' chair. It's supposed to be his church. From what I can tell, this church has been running without him, and that's going to stop right now. And since it's his church, why don't we give it back to him? And since it's his church, from now on, we will only ask one question. What does Jesus want us to do? Any decisions that have to be made from this point on will not be determined by South African culture or our tradition or preferences. Beginning at this moment, we are recommitting our lives and our church to Jesus. And from now on, we will only do what Jesus wants to do. When it came to worship styles, how to reach teenagers, preaching methods, and every other defining issue of the day, he told me everyone had an opinion. But they came together and decided Jesus couldn't care less what their past preferences were. They looked to Scripture to hear the voice of Jesus and committed to move that direction regardless of the consequences. 200 years of cultural conditioning and church history were thrown right out the window, gone now and replaced by new life, fresh growth, and dramatic impact. The pastor put his arm around my shoulder and continued, "None of our traditions or preferences mattered anymore," he said. "We just gave the church back to Jesus." Then he swept his arm across the still worshiping congregation and added, "And this is just what Jesus wanted to do." I have never recovered from that service. I walked away from the courageous group of South African Christ followers more convinced than ever that the greatest need of any person is to be confronted by those two questions. Who is Jesus, and does he want to have anything to do with my life? And we ask those questions because the greatest need of any Christian is to reconnect and rediscover the power unleashed by actually following the authentic Jesus. My friend Mark Clark's brilliant new book, The Problem of Jesus.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?